Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. If you're new here, welcome. Today we're talking about something I think is super important, especially if you're a new believer, a new Christian, or maybe you're just getting serious about reading your Bible for the first time. We're living in an incredible time. More people are opening their Bibles, walking into churches, and asking spiritual questions than we've seen in years. That's amazing. But here's the thing. Whenever there's genuine spiritual hunger, there are people who are ready to serve up spiritual junk food. So today, we're going to talk about discernment. I'm calling this Learn to Discern, because the Bible doesn't just tell us to believe everything we hear. Actually, it commands us to test everything. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, we find this: test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. So grab your Bible, and maybe some coffee, and let's learn how to spot the real from the counterfeit. Let's start with what I call the gold standard of discernment, the Berean approach. We get that from Acts chapter 17, where Paul and Silas arrive in a town called Berea, and they start teaching about Jesus. Now, check out what the people did. In verse 11 of Acts 17, we read, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." Now, did you catch that? These folk were called noble, not because they blindly accepted what Paul said, but because they, well, number one, listened eagerly. They were open. But two, they checked everything against the scripture daily. Even though Paul was an actual apostle writing half of the New Testament, the Bereans still fact-checked him. If they verified Paul's teaching, we should definitely verify what we hear from pastors and podcasters and that guy on TikTok with strong opinions about Revelation. So here's your first principle. Scripture is the ultimate authority. Not feelings, not experiences, not how charismatic someone is, not how many followers they have. Scripture alone. The Bible is God's revealed word. It's complete, it's sufficient, and it's our measuring stick for truth. That's what we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So, when someone teaches something, your first question should be, what does the Bible say about this? Okay, you might be thinking, I'm brand new at this. How am I supposed to know what the Bible really means? And that's a great question. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And one of his jobs is to guide you into truth. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 13. He was about ready to leave. The cross was right before him. And he's telling the disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit helps us understand God's word. He illuminates scripture, convicts us of truth, and he even gives us that spiritual check in our spirit when something is off. Have you ever listened to someone teach and you felt kind of uncomfortable, but you couldn't quite put your finger on it? That may be the Holy Spirit warning you. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, we find this, "But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. You have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it is taught you, abide in him." Now, this doesn't mean that we don't need teachers. God gives teachers to the church. But it does mean that the Holy Spirit confirms truth to your spirit as you read and you listen to someone else teach God's word. So here is a principle number two. Trust the Holy Spirit's guidance, but test everything against Scripture. The Spirit will never contradict the Word because he inspired the Word. We learn of what are called manifestations of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are gifts that God gives that are clearly supernatural. In verse 10, one of the gifts is the discerning of spirits. It's the ability to sort out whether the animating influence at work in a given situation is godly, demonic, or merely human. While Paul, who authored that, says that not all receive all the gifts of the Spirit, he ends that whole section in verse 31 by saying, earnestly desire the best gifts. As my pastor used to say when he was teaching this passage, the best gift is the one that's needed in that moment. Well, this is a moment that requires an extra dose of discernment because there's a lot of deception out there, and it's everywhere because of the ubiquity of modern media and the internet. So pray for the gift of discernment. All right, let's get practical. What are some red flags that should make you pump the brakes on a teacher or a teaching? Well, red flag number one would be a different gospel. And then this is really the big one. Paul was so serious about it, he said this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now we say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Paul doesn't mess around here. So what is the true gospel? Well, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not by our works, not by goodness, not by our efforts. Jesus did it all on the cross. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we find, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." Now, if someone teaches that you need Jesus plus something else, plus the good works, plus keeping certain laws, plus special experiences, that's a false gospel. Run. Red flag number two, the prosperity gospel. And this one seems everywhere. It goes something like this. God wants you healthy, wealthy, and comfortable. Just have enough faith, sow a spiritual seed, a financial seed, and God will make you rich. Sounds great. Except Jesus never promised that. In fact, Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Paul, the apostle, he was beaten, shipwrecked, imprisoned, eventually martyred. Not exactly living his best life now. God does bless his children, but biblical blessing isn't primarily about material wealth. It's about knowing Christ, growing in holiness, and having eternal life. When someone's primary focus is your wallet and their ministry looks more like a luxury brand than a cross-carrying servant, red flag. Okay, red flag number three, new revelation or extra-biblical authority. Now, this is huge, especially right now. Some teachers claim to have new revelations from God, new prophecies, new words, new insights that aren't in the Bible. Here's the thing. The canon of Scripture is closed. God gave us everything we need in His Word. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, very end of the Bible, warns against adding to Scripture. Does God still speak? Absolutely, He does. He speaks primarily through His Word. And He can give wisdom and guidance and direction, but He's not giving new doctrinal revelation that contradicts or adds to Scripture. Be very cautious of anyone who says, "God told me," and then shares something that can't be verified by Scripture or leads you away from biblical truth. Red flag number four, the New Apostolic Reformation, also known as the NAR. Let me introduce you to a movement you need to know about. The New Apostolic Reformation. This movement teaches that God is restoring the offices of apostles and prophets to the church today. Modern day apostles with authority equal to the original 12. So they emphasize new prophecies and revelations, something called the Seven Mountain Mandate, which is Christians taking dominion over culture, signs and wonders and experiences over sound doctrine, and apostolic authority that can't be questioned. The problem with this? The foundation of the church was laid by the apostles and prophets with Jesus as the cornerstone. That's already done. It's already laid. That's what we read about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. That foundation has been laid. The office of apostle was unique to those who witnessed the risen Christ. NAR teachings often prioritize experience over Scripture, elevate leaders to unhealthy levels, and can lead people into deception. Be especially wary of prophets who make failed predictions but face no accountability for it. Be careful of leaders who claim special authority that puts them above correction. And watch out for emphasis on spiritual experiences without a biblical grounding. Teaching that downplays the sufficiency of Scripture is a huge red flag. Okay, red flag number five. Character doesn't match conduct. I would say finally, just look at the fruit of the ministry and those that are in leadership. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothes, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." So does the teacher display the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You'll find those in Galatians chapter 5. Are they humble or arrogant? Are they accountable or do they surround themselves with yes men? Do they love money and fame or do they point people to Jesus? If someone's lifestyle contradicts their teaching, red flag. Okay, so how do you actually grow in discernment? Here are some practical steps. Number one, read your Bible. You can't discern truth from error if you don't know truth. Try to spend time in God's Word every single day, even if it's just a few minutes. Because the more familiar you are with Scripture, the more quickly you can spot counterfeits. Number two, find a solid biblical church. Don't try to do this alone. Find a church that preaches the Bible expositionally, that is verse by verse, emphasizes the gospel of grace, has qualified godly leadership, practices church discipline, and values sound doctrine. Number three, learn from godly teachers. There are tons of great resources out there. Find pastors, Bible teachers who have proven faithful over time. Look for those who clearly explain Scripture. They point to Jesus, and they're living what they teach. Number four, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask, hey, where's that in the Bible? If someone gets defensive when you ask for biblical support, that is a red flag in itself. Number five, pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Ask God to give you discernment. He will. Now, number six, be patient with yourself. Remember, you're learning. You're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. God is gracious, and he'll guide you as you seek him. Now, let me give you one caution. Don't become a discernment bully. Some people get so focused on calling out error that they forget to live out truth. They become critical, and divisive, joyless. Jude verses 22 and 23 say this, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Yes, we contend for the faith, but we do it with humility, with grace, with love. Our goal isn't to win arguments, it's to point people to Jesus and protect them from harm. Speak truth, but speak it in love. All right, friends, let's wrap it up with this. We're living in exciting times spiritually. People are hungry for truth, but with that hunger comes the danger of false teaching. So learn to discern. Be like the Bereans. Test everything against Scripture. Lean on the Holy Spirit and watch for red flags. Keep growing in your knowledge of God's Word. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Discernment is both a gift of the Spirit and a skill. You grow in it by practicing it, by reading your Bible, by evaluating teaching, by walking with Jesus. Listen, you got this. God's given you His Word, His Spirit, and His church. You're not alone in this. If this video has helped you, please hit the like button, subscribe if you haven't already, and share this with a friend who needs to hear it. And hey, go read your Bible, seriously, right now. I'll see you next time. God bless.